I've been preaching a series on the Lord shall deliver thee. This is number four. I think I've used two scriptures twice in this series of four sermons. And this is a message that God wants us to get so we will know that we have been delivered from by faith, by everything the devil has through Calvary. We're already delivered. We just need to receive it by faith, or by grace. Calvary's benefit, shed blood, are you saved, delivered, made whole, healed, delivered through faith. When we put our faith in his benefits, then we receive those benefits. Somebody said that's right. Come on. The Lord delivers us from demons, broken hearts, diseases, and violent people. Every problem can be fixed. Psalm chapter 34, verse 6, this poor man cried, and that would be me. Yay. This poor man cried years ago, and the Lord heard him and delivered him out of all of his troubles. And he heard me again just this week. Can you say amen? He has delivered me out of trouble after trouble after trouble, or I wouldn't be here. Notice he cried out to the Lord, and he delivered him. It's not just enough to say, I'm trusting God. You've got to cry out to God. You got to spend some time praying. Psalm 34, verse 18, the Lord is near to the brokenhearted. He said, well, I've been abused and hurt and have all kind of hurts and scars. The Lord is near to you. The Lord is near to the brokenhearted and saves or delivers or heals those who are crushed in spirit. The Lord heals the brokenhearted and those crushed by spirit. I was crushed in spirit because of my father cursing me and putting me down and calling me names, telling me I was worthless and useless, and I was slow and dumb and all kind of things. My grades dropped from A's and B's to D's and F's. It was because I had a crushed spirit, but guess what? Over the years, God has healed me. Amen. And some people think I'm almost normal. But some of the normal people I know, I don't want to be normal. Verse 19, many are the afflictions of the righteous. Amen. Afflictions, that's anything that gives you a problem. Sickness, disease, failure, poverty, inferiority. Many are the afflictions, the attacks of the devil. Many are the afflictions of the righteous, but the Lord might deliver you out of a few of them if you act right. Doesn't say that. It says many are the afflictions of the righteous, but the Lord delivers them out of them all. That's hard to believe, ladies and gentlemen. But I can pretty much testify that I've been delivered from everything. It took a while. Yay. And it took a lot of patience, a lot of prayer, a lot of fasting, and a lot of people praying for me. But somehow God has always made a way out of my troubles, my problems. In this life, the righteous will always have problems, one right after another, but the Lord delivers us out of all of them. But when will I stop having problems? When you go to heaven. Judy Carter will never have another problem. But until we get there, we're going to have problems because we live in a demonized world. And the Word of God says this world is under control of Satan. And it is. And so we live in a demonized world, and we have to know our authority, that the devil has no right to put this stuff on us and to keep it on us. 2 Samuel 2:48, it is God who avenges me. What does that mean? It means God avenges me. He gets even for me. He gets even for me. Vengeance is mine, I'll repay, saith the Lord. Now, if you stick your nose in it, you start trying to get vengeance, then you're going to shut down God, what God's trying to do. Let God get even. He can get even and do things to people you go to prison over. Isn't that a good word? It is God who avenges me. God avenges me. He gets even or me, and subdues people under me. He can even cause people to submit to our authority and our leadership. Verse 49, he delivers me from my enemies. You also lift me up, listen, you also lift me up above those who rise against me. He says, you lift me above those who would like to see me fail. You exalt me and put down those who make fun of me. You see, he blesses me more than he blesses them. Those who think they're better than me, he blesses me more. And that's what it's been said here, he blesses us more than he blesses those who are attacking us and trying to put us down, make fun of us. And I found that to be true. I wasn't the most popular boy in school. I lived on a farm. I wore blue jeans. Everybody else was wearing nice pants. That's why it took me so long to start wearing blue jeans, because I had to wear blue jeans with everybody else. I had real nice pants. And a lot of people made fun of me. But I remember not too long ago, I got a call from boys in my class, and listening to him talk, I realized God has blessed me more than he did him. He's blessed me more than probably anybody in my class. Verse 50, therefore, I will give thanks to you. Now, that's an important part that we miss. We're so assumed by the problem we have, we forget to thank him for all the many hundreds of times he's delivered us before. Oh, my God, I got a problem. Well, thank him for the other things he has done, and then believe him to do it again. And I'm guilty of that, but I'm working on it. He says, amen, to remember the miracles of God instead of getting focused on the current problem. This means that God will take good care of his kids. Say, I'm a kid, a king's kid. Raise your hand if you're a king's kid. Come on, participate. Let's see if you're a king's kid. This means that God takes care of his kids and delivers them from violent people. It says he delivers us from violent people. Vengeance is mine, I'll repay. If you do not believe that, stay in your house, because you live in a violent generation of people. They'll rape you, murder you, throw things at you, knife you, shoot you. You need to know that he delivers you from crazy, violent, demonized people. Psalm 140, verse 1, deliver me, O Lord, from evil men. Preserve me from violent men. Verse 2, who plan evil things in their hearts. How many know there's people who at work, they can get jealous of you, and they can plan for you to fail and to set you up for failure. Preserve me from violent people who plan evil things in their hearts. They continually gather together for war. They'd rather have a fight than to have peace. Verse 3, they sharpen their tongues like a serpent. I mean, you got people that you know, they have sharp tongues, and they can slash you up. Yay. Praise the Lord. He says, they sharpen their tongues like serpents, but he says, deliver me, O Lord, from these evil people with sharp tongues. We need this because we live in such a wicked generation. And people today have a greater opportunity to attack you than ever before because they have Facebook. I refuse to look at Facebook. I refuse to put anything on it personally. Church uses it. But it gives me a platform to curse you and call your names and put you down. And other people, I refuse to be a part of something that's so demonic. And it's not just Facebook. It's really all social media. I don't want anything to do with it. And I'm surviving pretty good without it. And it's a proven fact now that it's destroying our kids psychologically. And many, many, many professionals coming out and saying something's got to be done about social media. And it gives kids to show your kids pictures of pornography and everything else. Somebody say amen. Well, let's put all the pornography companies out of business. Well, your kids got it on their phone. They can show it, you know. And so we live in a real wicked, demonized generation. Lord, deliver us and our kids. Come on. You better get on board with this, because our only hope is for God to deliver us. And not just us. What about our grandkids? What they're going through. Man, these kids in kindergarten are seeing all kind of pornographic. Can you imagine what that does to their mind and their heart? The Lord delivered Daniel from the giant. We're facing a lot of giants today, and he's still the giant killer. Can you say amen? God is. 1 Samuel 17, verse 37, and David said, the Lord who delivered me from the paw of the lion and the paw of the bear, he will deliver me from the hand of this Philistine, of Goliath. And Saul said to David, go, and may the Lord be with you. So why did David have such great confidence that he could defeat this giant? Because God had delivered him before. Remember what God has already done. David said, I can do it because God helped me do it, and he will help me do it again. His confidence was not in his ability. His confidence was not in his slingshot in five rocks. His confidence was in his God. And I have said this many times. You'll go against Satan the same way David went against Goliath. You win the same way. If you want to see how David won, here goes. He convinced King Saul, so Saul let him go. He said, I can do this. And Saul said, well, okay, if you got that kind of evidence that God has been with you. Verse 45, then Daniel said to the Philistine, you need to say this to the devil. You come to me with a sword, a spear, and a javelin, but I come to you in the name of the Lord of hosts. I don't come against you with my ability and my talent. I come against you with the name, in our case, the Lord Jesus Christ. Then he says, the God of the armies of Israel, whom you have taunted or insulted, you've insulted the people of God, and I'm going to deal with you. You come against me with armor, I come against you with a name. The name of the Lord of hosts. How many of you know that name? In the name of Jesus. Satan, I take authority over you. I take authority over your demonized people that's coming against me. I take authority over these sharp tongues, and I command them to stop. In the name of Jesus. I'm glad you came to church so far. 10 minutes into the sermon is pretty good. Verse 46, this day the Lord will deliver you. Can you think like that? Look at your enemies. You don't have to necessarily say it. Today God's going to deliver you into my hand. You're not going to be successful. You come against the wrong person. I know who I am. This day the Lord will deliver you up into my hands, and I will strike you down and remove your head from you. Verse 4, and the kid didn't even have a knife on him. All he had was a sling and a rock. Verse 47, and that all the assembly may know that the Lord does not deliver by sword or by spear, for the battle is the Lord's, and he will give you into our hands. You see, I am not your problem, is what he is telling Goliath, I'm not your problem. Your problem is my God. And that boss at work that's mistreating you, you're not his problem. If he is really mistreating you and you're doing a good job working hard, then his problem is God. Amen. He says, David says, basically what he says, let me paraphrase, I am on a mission from God, therefore, the battle is the Lord's because I'm on a mission. Are you on a mission from God? Are you doing that work as unto the Lord as you're supposed to be? If you're doing your work, your job, your career, whatever it is, as unto the Lord, you're doing his work, and God sees it as his battle when you have a battle. Amen. You see, God delivered Paul from a shipwreck. Acts chapter 27, you see, you just don't know the problems you're talking about. My problem is different. Well, this is different. Have you ever been caught in a storm? How many of you ever heard of a hurricane hitting Asheville, North Carolina? I've been around a while. I never heard of such a thing. I mean, you never know what you're going to face. And you need to be prayed up, fired up, ready to be delivered from a flood in Asheville, North Carolina. God delivered Paul from the shipwreck. Acts chapter 27, verse 22. The ship Paul was on got caught in a hurricane. That's what it had to be. It was driving them for days. The ship Paul was on got caught in a hurricane, and he encouraged the sailors by saying, yet now I urge you to keep up your courage. He's talking to the sailors. And normally the sailors would be encouraging the people on the boat. Be of good courage. But this man of God is saying, I've heard from God, be of good courage. This is going to be okay. For there will be no loss of life among you, but only of the ship. He says, for this very night an angel of the God to whom I belong. Do you belong to God? Amen. Well, Paul was one of the 12. No, he wasn't. He was called of God as apostle, but he wasn't one of the 12 apostles. For this very night an angel of the God to whom I belong and whom I serve stood before me. Who do you serve? It's important. Verse 24, saying, do not be afraid, Paul. You must stand before Caesar. He was on his way to stand trial in Rome. And God says, I'm going to make sure you get there to stand trial. Paul, you must stand before Caesar. And behold, God has granted you all those who are sailing with you. In other words, no one on this ship is going to die. I'm going to save every one of them because of you. Verse 26, then Paul says, but we must run aground on a certain island. So he says this thing is going to crash into an island. God showed me that, told me that. So God is with us, but we are going to be in a major shipwreck. But don't worry about it. God's going to save every one of you. Y'all paying attention yet? God can so anoint you, you can save all everybody around you. This boat is going to be destroyed. Verse 41, striking a reef where two seas meet, they ran the vessel aground, and the prow stuck first and remained immovable, but the stern began to be broken up by the force of the waves. They were all delivered from the storm, but the ship was destroyed, but they all got out safe. How many know the devil doesn't give up easily? He was determined to kill Paul. God delivered Paul from a deadly viper. In Acts chapter 28, verse 3, but when Paul had gathered a bundle of sticks, people said, well, he was just an invalid. You know, he was sick all the time. He couldn't do anything. He's healthy enough to swim out of the ocean. And he's healthy enough to build a fire. He's healthy enough to withstand a viper that bit him by the grace of God. But when Paul had gathered a bundle of sticks and laid them on the fire, a viper came out because of the heat and fastened itself to his hand. The pagan says, this guy escaped the sea, but now he's facing death because certainly he's a wicked man. Exactly the opposite was true. He was a man of God. And just because you're a man of God doesn't mean the devil's not going to try to kill you. Or a woman of God. However, he shook the creature off into the fire and suffered no harm. God delivered Paul from the storm, the viper, and certain death because a centurion, he was being transported by an officer to stand trial in Rome before Caesar, and the centurions, the officers were under charge in this situation to kill the prisoner so they couldn't escape. And so this prisoner, the centurion loved Paul, and so he refused to kill the prisoners in order to spare Paul. And he was taking a real chance. If those prisoners got away, he could be in real trouble himself. And so God worked miracle after miracle after miracle for Paul. Remember the Gentile woman that had the daughter that was demon-possessed? She goes to Jesus and she says, Lord, have mercy on me. My daughter is suffering terribly from demon possession. Verse 23, Jesus did this. This is Matthew 15, chapter 15, 22, 23. And Jesus did not answer a word. So his disciples came to him and urged him, send her away, for she keeps crying out after us. See, you may not be in a storm, but you may be facing demon situation where one of your children have really been attacked through some kind of demonic attack, and you don't even know what it is. But I want you to know God can deliver you out of the storm. He can deliver you from the giant. He can deliver you from any demonic attack. You got to believe that if you're going to be delivered. And you have to believe that it's already provided, and all you need to do is believe God for it. Yes. And the disciple says, send her away. This woman is driving us crazy because she will not shut up. That is an example for us. No matter what your problem is, don't shut up. Amen. Don't be telling everybody. Tell God. Yeah. Amen. Amen. And just tell the people you know will have faith for you. You tell some people that you got this big problem, and they'll pull you the rest of the way down. because they're doubting and belief. I'm very careful who I tell my problems to. I want to tell them to people that know they have more faith than me to help pull me up. Say amen. Amen. Thank you. Yay. So the lady kept going, Lord, help me, help me, help me. And the Lord insulted her. He said, it's not right for me to take the children's bread and cast it to the dogs. She said, call me anything you want to call me, but even the dogs get the crumbs. Just give me a crumb. That's all I need is a crumb. And she's called him the son of David, which means even though she's a Gentile, she believed he was the son of God. And she put her faith in him. And Jesus said, woman, you have great faith. Your request is granted. Keep going to hear that. Your request is granted. And you remember the man that had the demon-possessed son? The devil kept throwing him into the fire, trying to burn him alive, throwing him in the water, trying to drown him. And he came to Jesus, and he said, I brought my son to your disciples. Those preachers are worthless, like a lot of preachers today. These preachers had no faith. They couldn't deliver my son. Can you deliver him? He said, if thou canst believe, all things are possible. I'm talking to you now about direct deliverance from demonic deception, demonic lies, demonic possession, and demonic attacks. And this man said, I believe, help my unbelief. Verse 18, and Jesus, this is Matthew 17, 18. We serve communion, and I'm abbreviating the sermon. Can you tell that? But it's still hitting the point, right? Right on track, just like God told me that he'd direct me, and he's directed me. In verse 18, and Jesus rebuked the demon, and it came out of him, and the boy was cured instantly. When the disciples came to Jesus, then the disciples came to Jesus and asked privately, why could we not drive it out? Now, these are the preachers. These are the apostles. Everybody, oh, the apostles had all the power, and when they died, all the power died with them. They didn't have any power until they started believing. And you don't have any power until you start believing. When they became believers, then they had power. It wasn't because they were picked to be preachers or apostles. It was because they believed in the healer, which was Jesus Christ, in the deliverer, which was Jesus Christ, the miracle worker, which was Jesus Christ. When they started believing, then they could do the works. He that believes on me, doesn't say apostles, he that believes on me, the works that I do, he, she shall do. It's believing. He said to them, because the littleness of your faith, for truly I say to you, if you have faith that is living like a grain of mustard seed, you can say to this mountain, move from here to yonder place, and it will move, and nothing will be impossible to you. Do you believe that? Amen. Just build your faith and be ready. Jesus Christ has provided deliverance and given us authority over everything the devil has. And he says, nothing will be impossible to you. I'll tell you a story. I think I told it in the early years after we came here, but I don't remember telling it for the last 25, 30 years. But this is one reason I believe what I believe about my authority and your authority over demons and devils. He delivered me and Dottie from a demonic attack. Dottie and I, this was in the 70s. I was in my 20s. I had hair. Maybe like Samson, that's why I had more power and strength back then. It's because I had long hair. Well, I don't know. Of course, I'm joking. Dottie and I built Eagle Lake Youth Camp. And we had 1,000 kids out there a year. Busing inner city kids, just like we did here for the Vacation Bible School. God trained me there to do what we did here for about 25, 30 years. This night, we had about 200 kids from the projects in Louisville. About after bedtime, we had put the kids in their dorms, put them to bed. The counselors brought this big girl. I'm going to call her a big girl because she was big, and I can't remember her name after 50 years. Yay. The counselors brought the big girl to me because she was throwing gravel in the girls' dorm. Take a handful of gravel and throw it through the dorm and hit the girls. It wasn't big rocks, but it was gravel. Can you imagine laying in bed and gravel hitting you in the eye or hitting you in the head? And they brought her to me, and she was totally rebellious. She wouldn't listen to a thing I had to say. And so I said, just take her back to Louisville, 30 miles away. So they loaded her in a car and took off. A big boy who was about 17, he had problems, and we knew it. But he got saved, gave his life to Jesus Christ. So we kept him several weeks to let him help us so he would spend time with him and train him and love on him. But he had issues. I mean, the kids that grew up in those projects, even way back in the 70s, they'd seen people murdered. They'd seen people raped. They'd seen the most horrible things that some of us couldn't even imagine. And these kids had problems. And so something just happened. It's like the devil just took over the whole camp. All of a sudden, this boy just went wild, started running through the dark down the road. And we had a big lake there, a 21-acre lake, and he ran right across that dam and disappeared into the darkness. And we said, oh! And so I jumped into my new Pontiac and had about 5 guys with me. We chased him down, and he was so strong, we like to never got him back in the car. He about whipped all 5 of us. But we finally got him back in the car, got him back up to the camp. And so that girl, let me see where I am here. So we chased him down, got him in the car, and brought him back. It was, as I just said, as if Satan had taken over the whole camp. And the kids were in their dorms, and Dottie and Johnny Miller, who played the guitar, Dottie was singing, and they said, well, let's sing, and let's see if we can get the anointed music going through the camp and calm this thing down. So she ran into the dining room to grab Johnny's guitar, and it was a concrete floor, of course, and God helped me build that. We seat 200 kids in there around tables. I mean, God really helped me to do a lot of good things before I came to Knoxville. I don't know what happened after I got here. But anyway, she slipped on that concrete and busted her chin up. She was pouring blood, and she fractured her arm, busted her elbow open. We rushed her off to the hospital in Louisville, 30 miles away. And they brought the big girl back. They didn't leave her in Louisville. I said, what in the world is wrong with you? We got war going on out here. We don't need this girl here. They said, well, we forgot to take her address. I mean, we didn't have cell phones. And especially that time of night in Louisville, you'd probably it'd be dangerous trying to use a payphone back where these kids lived. And she decided she wanted to come back. So she took them to a house that wasn't hers. They figured it out later. And so they brought her back. So what is wrong with you? And so I was down at the lodge. I said, sit there in that chair and don't move. I'm telling you the truth, that girl was so, I mean, it was like these kids had demonic strength. She picked me up by one arm and threw me out into the gravel. I was a heavyweight. I weighed about 148 pounds. Same height. It busted both knees, cut my pants legs, and both knees are bleeding. But she did sit down. About this time, the counselors came from the girls' dorm. Said, these girls are all crying uncontrollably. I said, what? So I took about 5 counselors with me. Thank God I had a lot of counselors. We ran up there as fast as we could go, and I walked in. And those girls were sobbing. I never seen anything like it in my life. I said, what's wrong? I said, we don't know. I said, you're crying. Why are you crying? We don't know. Are you afraid? Yes. What are you afraid of? We don't know. I've been sobbing. I've never seen anything like it in my life. And I said, is there anything I can do for you? And one of them said, we'd like to have some water. Water? We had about 80, 90 girls in that dorm. That's a lot of water. So I said, okay, we'll go get you some water. When I went out the door, the Lord spoke to me, showed me what it was. I didn't know anything about this kind of warfare. Thank you. But I was dealing with kids that belonged to the devil. He thought. And he wasn't going to let me rescue them. So he came to destroy the whole thing. As I went out that door, the Lord showed me what it was. He said, you stop right here and rebuke this thing. I didn't know what I was doing, but I heard God. And I had those five counselors with me, or however many it was, I think it was about five. I said, let's pray. I gathered them together outside the dorm. We prayed, rebuked that devil. I said, whatever you are, you foul lying devil, whatever you're doing, we command you to get off this campus right now in the name of Jesus. Get off this camp and be gone. And I felt something leave. First time I ever seen anything quite like that. And I told the counselor, I said, we're going to go down and get that water, but when we get back, I guarantee you these kids will act like nothing ever happened because I sensed that thing leave. So I went back down, got some water, came back. Literally telling you the truth, those kids were laughing and joking and talking to each other in the dorm. Amen. I went back down to the lodge and talked to the big girl on the porch, and she got saved. Amen. Born again. The next morning, I went into the kitchen, and she was in there working, helping prepare breakfast for the whole camp. She's a big girl. She was older, so she could do that. The big boy went back to work. We'd kept him there for several weeks, and he went back to work, and he's happy, acting like nothing ever happened. That thing was a total, complete demonic attack. And the next morning, we had it's a large kitchen area and then a large dining room, and we had a sofa in there, and so Dottie and I was sitting on that sofa. Dottie got back from the hospital. She had a great big bandage on her chin. They took 6 stitches to sew it up. She bust her elbow open. It was pouring blood, had it bandaged up, had her arm in a sling. I was sitting on the sofa with both knees bandaged up, and somebody came down from Louisville to just check out the camp, see how we're doing. They walked in and saw us sitting there. I said, have y'all been in a war? I said, yes, as a matter of fact, we have. Y'all paying attention? That night, I learned something about my enemy. And so when I take authority and preach the way I preach, there's a reason for it.